Classic business. Sustainability.
Well, if it felt like you caught the flu more severely last year than you usually do, you might be right. I certainly get that sense. Arizona State University found a link between climate change and severe flu seasons, with the warmer winters being the catalyst here. And it's one example of the proven link between climate change and infectious diseases, with the best research vector being malaria, which is very important news for us in the malaria zone, as we are in southern Africa. According to the World Health Organization, malaria modeling shows that a global temperature increase of 2 to 3 degrees, that's Celsius, could result in a 3 to 5% increase in the number of people at risk of malaria. And that amounts to several hundred million individuals. And the question is how to mitigate the risks of drastic weather events we can't yet accurately predict, as this is going to have massive implications for individuals, for businesses, and for productivity. I'm joined now by Dr. Marion Morkel, Chief Medical Officer at Sanlam. Evening, Dr. Morkel. Is this just scaremongering? How real is this threat?
Hi, Michael. This threat is very, very real. Over the last few decades, the World Health Organization has been tracking the increased temperature, and they have noted that there are numerous epidemics that are increasing, particularly amongst the vector-borne diseases. So from time to time, you'll hear on all the news channels a big scare around Ebola or a big scare around malaria. And this is increasing in frequency as we have more and more signs and evidence of global warming.
I think a big concern for governments must be on how climate change could catalyze or accelerate an epidemic, one of those big disease outbreaks, and how we might respond to that.
Absolutely, and particularly in Africa already, World Health Organization has found a link between the outbreak of Ebola virus in the DRC and climate change, as well as we're seeing far more cases of malaria. The other challenge, Michael, is that it's not just about an increase in the outbreaks of these diseases, but we're seeing with increased temperatures that the diseases are more severe because it appears as if the strains that are more infectious, that causes more havoc in individuals, tend to multiply even more than those that are slightly more treatable in increased temperatures. And so it's a big worry even for scientists to try and make sure we're able to mitigate the risk once a person has been infected.
Now, we're talking about some pretty serious diseases, but there's also things like the flu. It does feel like the strains of flu are becoming ever more virulent year in, year out. Is that just me feeling like I'm getting older? Is there scientific evidence to back that up?
There's lots and lots of scientific evidence. Okay, so besides the fact that when we are aging, we do have an increased likelihood of getting certain strains of the flu, but there's lots of evidence that with global warming, the flu is getting worse. Interestingly enough, it may not be in the way we ordinarily think of how it will work. It's that it's based on winter temperatures are slightly warmer than years before, and in fact, during those seasons, the flu is then actually less. So for every warmer winter, the flu of the previous strain that's still floating around is still less. But the next season, the flu season that follows that winter, then you see that the flu is much worse. And because humans have less natural immunity because they haven't been exposed to it because of a warmer winter, people succumb faster to the disease. So we're not just seeing an increase in influenza, but we're seeing an increase in the mortality rates, the death experience with influenza all over the world.
That is alarming. I think the million rand question then is how do we go about mitigating some of the risks?
So a lot of this has to be done on a global level, and obviously governments need to seriously start addressing all the effects of climate change and not just purely on looking at one aspect or trying to work out just how we do it with the environmental challenges. They also have to look at the indirect costs, for example, health costs, pandemic risk. And then on an individual basis, the more we can educate ourselves, the more we are aware about the risk of vector-borne diseases that increase with increased temperatures, the more we practice safe hygiene, no matter how poor the environments. So, for instance, if we are forced to move to inland, increased altitudes, what that means to what we take with us if there's flooding in shoreline areas because of global warming, and how we prepare foods that we haven't yet been exposed to. We must also be careful of just saying it's a government problem about decreasing our global our carbon footprint. We all have to do our part. We can't just say, oh, it's the government's problem, and then we don't plow into doing our part. And then obviously we need to ensure that we have adequate cover in place, both from financial health, vaccinations, good medical aid, good cover should there be some sort of insurance fallout with regards to this. But all of this is, it's not just one thing. There are many things that must happen simultaneously.
No, it's holistic. But from the preventative measures here, and certainly there's a role for schemes to play, and some schemes are already doing this, sending out nurses to give you flu injections where you work, and to try and really be very proactive to avoid that downtime and the costs of visiting a doctor and spending a small fortune on your medicine cabinet, which just seems to grow every year.
Absolutely, absolutely. So lots of large corporates have benefited from having annual drives of having flu vaccines because it decreases the amount of absenteeism in winter. That has been shown. But it also, when somebody sometimes with a flu vaccine, you can still get the flu, but your exposure is less severe compared to those who haven't had some form of immunity against it. The one thing I just want to advise listeners, Michael, is that people often misunderstand how flu vaccines work. They think that if they had a flu vaccine 1 year, they stay for 5 years. Unfortunately, due to the virulent strains of flu vaccines, you need one annually, because it's a slightly different strain every year, and also because that immunity from the vaccine only lasts for a few months.
I think that is very important. I know a few friends who believe in that myth and say, oh no, we got vaccinated a couple of years ago, we're all good. The strains are virulent they do need to be vaccinated against every year. Dr. Marion Morkel, Chief Medical Officer at Sanlam, thank you very much for sharing some insights into the links between climate change and influenza. And quite clearly for policymakers, there is a lot to consider here if we're going to improve and boost our productivity. Thanks for your time.